You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm going to talk about a gap. Not the missile gap, not the credibility gap, but the trust gap. Who has the gap? Well, it's the President of the United States. Now, where did the gaps first really come into play? Well, during the Nixon-Kennedy debates, Kennedy played up the fact that the United States had a missile gap with the Soviet Union. Nixon really couldn't talk about it because he knew for a fact that that simply was not true, but it was classified. Some would claim that this was important during the debates. It might have tipped the scale. Be that as it may, gaps, especially trust gaps, are serious, especially if you're the President of the United States. Because once the American people feel that they can't trust you, not only will they not vote for you, they won't support you, they won't believe in you, and what they do is turn you off. That's why many people simply don't listen to Obama anymore. And that's the price of anyone that lies. And that's the president's big problem. He has a history of telling lies. He's been a habitual liar. I say that, and it doesn't give me any pleasure to say it, because most people would like to trust their president. Now, the obvious big lie, probably number one on the charts and still going strong, and probably will be number one on the charts until he leaves office, is if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. That is not true. Because people that have individual plans have gotten their cancellation letters. And the President of the United States, he can make an announcement that those plans can be extended, but there's a problem. He doesn't make the law. According to the law, all the existing plans now are illegal. In other words, they can't sell the old plans. Some insurance companies might, and that's has to be underlined, give their policyholders under the old plans that are now illegal the option to continue. But here's the dilemma. Before you can sell any insurance in any state, it has to be approved by the insurance commissioners. And there's a process involved, and it takes time. Given the fact that most insurance companies were assuming that these so-called legacy plans or plans that are now illegal under the Affordable Care Act were going by the wayside, they had a choice to make. Either they came up with health insurance plans that met the requirements of the Health Care Act, Affordable Care Act, or drop out of the market. Many insurance companies did drop out of the market. They wanted no part of this. And I think maybe they made the smart move. Because what people are finding that need to get health insurance, besides higher premiums, much, much higher deductibles, is the fact that they don't have their choice of doctors, nor do they have a choice of hospitals. Even in your large cities, there's still limits on the number of plans available. And you might very well find that neither your doctor nor the hospital that you want to go to is covered under the plan. If you're lucky, you may be able to find that, only to find out it's quite expensive. And millions of people have already found that out. They are not happy. And there's going to be a period of payback. It's going to start in the 2014 elections, and it's going to continue into the 2016 elections. The Republican Party looks highly likely that they will maintain control of the House. I think that's going to happen. The only question is, will they gain control of the Senate? There are people that, and I have a video, and I need to say this. I should have said this at the beginning of the show. When I prepare for the show, I provide you my notes in terms of some of the material I've looked at, not necessarily all of it. And that can be YouTube videos, it can be articles, it can be cartoons, photographs, depending on the nature of the story. And the way you get that information is to go to the companion blog for this show, which is Pronk Pop's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S dot wordpress.com. At the very top, when you get to the site, you'll see a picture of me and the publicity I use to market the show that I prepared. But right below it, you'll have links to usually the last 40 to 60 shows. And if you go skip to the bottom, you'll have a complete portfolio of all my shows. But under those links, so that's how you listen to the show. Right now, I'm streaming the show over the internet, and I'm sure the National Security Agency is capturing it and putting in their database. Isn't it wonderful the government has so much money that it's capturing everyone's, not only everyone in America, but the world's internet communications as well as phone calls? Well, that was yesterday's show, but I usually do an update of the week in review if there are any new developments. There really hasn't been any new developments on that story, but I mention it because that continues to go on. And that's one of a long list of issues that are making the American people mad. But number one is Obamacare. You notice how they first started giving exemptions after exemptions after exemptions for largely unions and some large companies that they didn't have to comply with the law. Now they've extended, or the president has announced, that if you want to keep your plan, you can keep it for another year. Why? Because they don't want to lose in the election. But what's happening across the country as I speak, small businesses, every month are getting their annual renewal letter. And they're being informed that their health insurance is no longer available under Obamacare. And their new plan includes a lot of services that many businesses, some have in their existing plan, but many do not. And as a result, their premiums are going to go up. In other words, a base, a political base, is being built larger and larger of people that really want Obamacare repealed in its entirety. Not fixed, repealed. This is an abomination. This is a bad idea that needs to be thrown out. It was forced on the American people, and now they're reacting across the country because they're finding out they can't go to the doctor that they've been going for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. They can't go to a hospital that might be right near them. And that's important to people because people build up confidence and trust in their doctors, in the hospitals. Just the opposite is what's happened with President Obama. Initially, there was a lot of support for President Obama. His approval ratings, if you look at the early weeks, months of his administration, were in the high 60s, about 66, 67%. I think in some days he got as high as 69. Not 70, but 69. Didn't last very long. Today, his approval rating, or the last couple of days, is at 40%, according to the Gallup polls. And that is consistent with a trend. They do this poll every 3 days, and they track it. It's one of these tracking polls. And the trend is the president's popularity or approval rating has gone down, down, and down. You know, going from the mid-60s to 40, you've lost about 25 points. That's more than a third of your support from people that were believing that you did a good job and voted for you. And it's only going to get worse, folks, because people now, when they get sick and have to use this insurance, a couple of things they're going to find out. One, they can't go to the doctor that they wanted to. If they need to go to a hospital or see a specialist, it's not the specialist or doctor they want to go to. And not only are they paying a lot of money, many of them can't afford it, but paying a lot of money, the deductibles are 3 to 5 times more high, are higher than their existing under their previous plans. All of those people are going to be highly motivated voters to vote out the Democrats. This is going to be the punishment for the Democratic Party for passing Obamacare. This is being a disaster. And I'm covering this because you had, according to law, to Monday, the 31st of March, to enroll in Obamacare. No one really knows how many have actually enrolled because no one knows how many have actually paid. That's mind-boggling in and of itself. But not only are people paying a lot more than they were paying for coverages that they were satisfied with, that were happy with, they're going to have to meet much higher deductibles. And you're not going to be able to get that medical treatment until you pay up, because the insurance company is not going to pay it until you've met your deductible. And the problem is, if the people can't afford the monthly premium, they're not going to be able to afford deductibles such as $2,500, $3,500 per person. So a couple, forget about children for a minute, that have one of these bronze plans typically will be paying $3,500 deductible. In other words, that's their out-of-pocket. Yes, there are certain benefits that are now included, but for anything that's serious, you're going to have to pay the deductible. So we went from a situation where most Americans were totally happy with their health insurance to a situation where the vast majority are mad, irate. I've been listening to the callers to various talk shows, and they're giving their particulars. And it's sad, because at one time, prior to Obamacare, you could go out and buy a plan that, first of all, was affordable and a plan designed to meet your needs. No more. The government has massively intervened in the health insurance market, and what they have given the American people is an abomination. Now, yes, there are people that enrolled in Medicaid. That's not insurance, folks. That is welfare. And those people are going to also find that should they ever need medical care, whether it's a doctor or a specialist or hospital care, many health care providers simply don't accept it. Why? Because of the reimbursement rates. That's the dirty secret that doesn't want to be talked about. It means doctors are not getting paid enough money, and when that's the situation, they don't want these patients. And that's the majority of doctors today across the nation. So Medicaid, yes, the number of people enrolled in that has gone up, but that's always available. But that shouldn't be your first choice. What you should do is have a good-paying job where you buy your own health insurance if it's not provided by your employer. See, that's the system we should go to, where every individual buys their own coverage. And to incentivize that, just like employers can deduct what they pay for group insurance, individuals should be able to deduct that. You should encourage people to provide or purchase health insurance in the event that should they have the need to avail themselves of it, they can. See, Obamacare did two things. First of all, it's a wealth transfer system, because much has been made of the fact, well, you may qualify for subsidies if you don't make enough money. Well, who's paying for that? The people that don't qualify for it. In other words, wealth is being transferred from the people that work hard and have good paying jobs to people that either don't work and are on Medicaid, or if they do, don't make enough money, and we subsidize them. What they need to do is either work longer hours or find a better job or get educated and find a better job. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my prediction that Obamacare is not only going to fail, it's going to be repealed. Now, I have said that won't happen at the earliest to 2017. I think what you're going to see is a November election when the Democrats get their heads handed to them, and many are going to be shown the door, which they should. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but not one single Republican voted for Obamacare, and all Democrats voted for it. So the big D is Democrat, and they're the ones to blame. Nobody else but them. They pushed this, they jammed it down the Americans' throat, and now the Americans are spitting it out. They don't like it. Now, what were the Democrats trying to do? They really didn't want Obamacare. What they really wanted was single payer, but they didn't have the votes. It's simple as that. And what is single payer? That means the government is the payer. And then you have no choice. No choice. You see, I'm a big advocate for consumer sovereignty. The consumer should buy the goods and services that they want, period. And if they don't earn enough money, then they need to work harder or get another job. But they should be free to choose what they buy or not buy. That's why the Supreme Court in the decision said you cannot force Americans to buy health insurance. But there was a big but in that. You can tax them if they don't have it. I think that's a big cop-out. They should have, and most people were expecting it. Remember, that was a 5-4 decision. And I don't know how they got to Justice Roberts. Probably the NSA dug up some information that was compromising, and he went along with the other justices. Because he was expected to rule with the majority on the other side that would have said Obamacare is unconstitutional. It really stunned a lot of people, many of them as supporters. I still think there was something behind that last-minute switch. And it's very disappointing because if the justice had gone the other way, the Chief Justice, a lot of pain and suffering and aggravation and time of the American people would not have been wasted. It is a miss, more than a missed opportunity. But getting back to my point, you as an individual should, you work, you have money, you should be able to buy what you want, assuming it's legal. I'm not talking about drugs or prostitution or illegal gambling. There are always going to be certain activities that are illegal. I'm talking about legal goods and services, such as health insurance. Because I believe, as well as many, many economists, that once you've earned that income, you should have the freedom to choose what's best for you. You're in the best position to know what your preferences are, what you're looking for. For example, let's take a simple example. You've been going to the same doctor for the last 20 years. And on occasion, maybe once or twice in those 20 years, you had to be admitted to a hospital, and you were admitted to a hospital near where you live. Now, as a direct result of the interference into this marketplace for health insurance led by Barack Obama and the Democratic Party, you no longer can see that doctor because the plan you purchased on the exchange, your doctor isn't in the network and your hospital isn't in the network. And it's difficult first even to find that out. It takes effort to find that out. And then when you try to buy insurance that includes your doctor in the network, as well as the hospital of your choice, you find out you can't buy any plan that has that. And that's what people are finding out. And they're upset. They are very upset. Ann Coulter found it out. And she wrote about it. And I suggest you go to the Drudge Report. And he has a list of columnists. And go down to Ann Coulter and read her article. Highly recommend it, but multiply her by millions. Some have already found it out, and more people are going to find it out in the future. So come November, for this alone, the Democratic Party is going to pay a high political price. They no longer will have, well, the Republicans, as far as I'm concerned, will maintain control of the House. And there's a strong, high probability that they will control the Senate, and maybe even by a wide margin. I think they're going to get at least 52 seats and could get as many as 56. So somewhere in that range. Now, am I celebrating? No, because let's assume that happens. Do you think the President of the United States is going to sign any legislation that would repeal his signature legislation, his legacy, Obamacare? I don't think he will. And the problem you get into then is, can the Republicans with some Democrats override that veto? I think that's going to be challenging, to say the least. But some Democrats might very well do it for the simple reason they face re-election again in 2016. That's why I think to be neither optimistic nor pessimistic, the earliest you're going to be able to go back to the old system would be 2017. There are a lot of things that can be done to improve health insurance. And one of the things is to enable the individual to purchase insurance from out of state. In other words, go online and find a plan that really meets their needs and buy it. You see, right now, for example, in Texas, you can only buy insurance that's been approved by the Texas Insurance Commissioner. And that's what can be sold. And there's a lot available. But what I can't do is buy online plans from other insurance companies that are sold in other states but not approved in Texas. You have a wide choice in Texas. I don't want to say that's the problem, but that is that, and that has been a recommendation for many years. That's not a new idea, folks. When you also add the deductibility in terms of health insurance, whatever you pay for it would be deductible, wouldn't it? And that would lower your tax burden. You see, I never liked the idea that the employer picks my health insurance, because sometimes they do a very good job, but sometimes they do a very poor job, or they're simply not in a financial position to provide good coverage, which is usually the major driver, is affordability. So what happens is you can be very much stuck with a plan that you don't like for various reasons. So you either can accept it or buy your own. I think just like you buy homeowners insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, buy your own. Spend your own money. Buy what you want and consider your income situation. You're in the best position to know what your budget can really afford. You're in the best position to know how healthy you, your spouse, and children are. Because let's say everyone's healthy, well, that sort of moves you towards a certain type of plan. But let's say one of those individuals has a serious medical condition, and there's a high probability that that person sometime in the future is going to have either a stay in the hospital for example, surgery, and that can be very, very expensive. See, I always recommend that you buy a high deductible catastrophic care. In other words, really insurance. And that's what most people want insurance for. Most people can pay for what I call the small stuff, the doctor's visits, some medication, not all medication. What they can't pay for is when you have a major operation that also requires a long hospital stay and rehabilitation, where the bills can be $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 and up. That's what they fear, because if that should happen and they not have insurance, they'll be paying those bills off for the rest of their life. That's why I'm a big advocate of having health insurance, a big advocate, always have been. But buy what you think you and your family need. And only you know what you can afford and what your needs are. That's the problem with the federal government or a ruling elite in Washington deciding that you should buy this plan that we've loaded up with all these other benefits that make it expensive. And then when you combine it with the attempt to transfer wealth from one group of people to another, you made the premiums much higher. And then when you made it guaranteed issue, where anyone that has an existing serious medical condition can get coverage, you're making the health insurance prohibitively expensive for the majority of the people. So unless you really have a very, very good paying job, you're not in a position to buy insurance that in the past you could have. See, the horror stories are real. Contrary to what Senator Reid said, that these are lies, Senator, you're the liar, and you're becoming a joke and an embarrassment. And I surely hope that you will no longer be the Senate Majority Leader come January of next year. Good riddance, because you are an embarrassment, sir, an embarrassment. And the Democrats are going to pay a penalty for your behavior and your arrogance. People are listening. They might not immediately have a means to make their dissatisfaction known. And for most people, it's just during the election, either in the primaries or in the general election, that's where most Americans will make their either dissatisfaction felt or the fact that they think they're well representative. Now, I want to get back to what I consider President Obama's central problem, what I call the trust gap. And it's not just President Obama. It's really the political leadership in Washington that has this problem. Because the perception is, and I think it's a correct perception, that both political parties, on more than one occasion, will do what the American people simply don't want. They will try to force laws, bills into laws that the American people oppose, whether it's in the health insurance area or in the immigration area. And other areas, taxes is the other. My frustration, the Tea Party's frustration, and millions, tens of millions of people's frustration is what I call the core problem facing the American people today, and that is simply out-of-control government spending. That concerns people, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents, because it not only affects them, it affects their children and grandchildren, because we're burdening future generations with a massive debt that has to be repaid as well as the interest paid over time. We're not living within the means. In other words, we're not anywhere close to balancing the budget, which used to be the norm, the standard. The exception were unbalanced budget. But what happened is, as the United States intervened abroad in major wars, whether it's World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, now it looks like potentially Syria, maybe the Crimea, who knows? What happens is the size of the federal government has been ratcheted up. Now, usually after the war is over, there are cutbacks and downsizing of the military. But what you've seen over the last more or less about 100 to 110 years is the size of the federal government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're now way past the point where what you pay in taxes can pay the bills, which means we're roughly having to borrow for every dollar the government is spending today, 35 cents. It got up to 40 cents. There's been some improvement. But you can't do that year in, year out, because if you do, one, the national gets bigger and bigger, and over time what's going to happen is the interest you have to pay on that national debt will grow, so it crowds out spending for other areas. And I've referred to it, as well as other people have referred to it, as the ticking time bomb. I repeat this because it behooves both Democrats and Republicans to listen to what the American people are saying. And they should be scared. Not immediately, but it is building. More and more people are not Democrats or Republicans. I've given up on both political parties. I am now an independent. I don't particularly care for either party because neither of them have shown me that they're capable of balancing a budget. There are a lot of talk, but very little walk. Or like we say in Texas, they're all hat, little cattle. All hat, little cattle. They're talkers. And they will talk and talk and talk. But will they balance the budget? No, absolutely not. Oh, occasionally you'll get a Congress. For example, Clinton likes to take credit for the fact that when he was in office, for a few years, you had balanced budgets. What he never seems to say, which is true, well, who controlled Congress? The Republican Party that did. That's why you had small surpluses. But once the Republicans got into power and controlled the presidency, the Senate, and the House, they reverted back to being big spenders. That's why it's very, very important when I or anyone else goes to vote for people to understand, first of all, can you trust what these people say? Some people you can. Many people you simply cannot, because they'll tell you what you want to hear. That's a big problem amongst both Democrats and Republicans. They'll tell you what you want to hear. And if you're in Texas, they'll talk. I call it talking conservative. The proof is always in the pudding or eating the pudding. Do they follow through on their promises? Or once they get elected, especially one or two times, to get ahead, they go along with the establishment leadership, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans in either house. And the leadership can run roughshod over their own party members. A recent incident was this. There's something called the Medicare Doc Fix. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it's very, very important because it gets back to this reimbursement. You need the so-called Doc Fix to fix the fact that doctors are simply not getting enough money to pay for their cost of care that they're providing. So periodically, Congress has passed this Doc Fix. What they recently did, and they suspended the rules of the House, and the way it works, they only need two-thirds of the people on the floor, as determined by whoever is the speaker or acting for the speaker. And they did this. And there were very, very few people on the floor, a few Republicans that were aware that the leadership was going to do this. And they passed the doc fix. This is the way the Democrats used to run the House. But shame, shame on the Republican leadership for pulling this. Now, they might have very well have gotten a majority vote or enough votes to pass it. That remains to be seen. But a number of people that want a permanent fix to this, not a temporary fix, which this was, were outraged that the leadership pulled this. And that is just one recent example of the problem of both political parties, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. This was an example of Republican leadership pulling a fast one on their own Republican members. They were promised that this would not be done, but they did it at the last minute. And the doc fix needed to be in place by 1 April. But the ends do not justify the means, and this is apparently a case of that. The ends they thought were good, so the means, who cares? This is not the way the will of the American people gets implemented. It is the way of a tyrant or a dictator or a limited clique of people in power exercising that power. And see, the danger is you can vote for someone in the primaries based on what they say. And initially, they seem to be coming through and voting the way you want. But over time, what happens? They succumb and vote their party line. And many times that simply conflicts with the will of the American people. And that's what we have. So that's why more and more people are not Republicans, they're not Democrats, they're independents. And what they're really looking for, and I think in time, I don't think we're there yet, but we could be shortly. Once independents become about 50% of the voting electorate, what I anticipate happening is the eventual formation of a successful third party that will challenge both the Republicans and Democratic Party. Right now, most people, including me, all we can do is vote the Democrats out. If you're in Texas, most of the people that represent me are Republicans. So really, the primaries are the only chance to correct the situation. But if you're an independent, you can't vote in the Republican primary. What is crying out is a need for another political party. Otherwise, it's just more of the same. That's why I'm not very optimistic that anything is going to be done to really balance the budget and get government spending under control, even if the Republicans win the House, win the Senate, and in 2017 maintain that control and win the presidency. It would take a person of integrity, a person of principle, and a purpose, and a person with the courage or fortitude to challenge the Republican establishment. I think Rand Paul is that person, and I think he's going to run for president. The problem is, let's assume he wins, and that is still a long shot, because I will tell you this, the Republican establishment will be lined up against him, even though he's a Republican. They fear a Rand Paul. Why? He wants to limit government. He wants to balance the budget. And that simply is not what the Republican Party wants. And if you challenge me on that, Exhibit A will be the Bush years and their unbalanced budgets and their intervention both within the U.S. economy and abroad. We had expansions of entitlements under George Bush. Part D, prescription drugs for Medicare. Great expansion. Not as huge as Obamacare, but still huge. And you don't do that when you're running these massive deficits, if you do it ever. So I'm not optimistic that either political party will ever get its act together at all. At all. I think what you're seeing today in Washington is gridlock, where both political parties are far apart, but neither political party is truly representing the will of the American people. Because if they were, they would deal with this problem. There have been polls after polls asking the American people, what are your primary concerns? Jobs, employment, the economy, deficits, or out-of-control government spending. And yes, health insurance. It's primarily economic issues. We have an economy that's growing at less than 3%. And there's nothing magical about 3%, but that's the historical average. We should be growing at least 3%, and we're not. We're growing about two-thirds that. It's going to fluctuate from quarter to quarter. And the reason why that's important, if the U.S. economy today were growing at 4, 5, 6%, which it has done in the past when you have an economic recovery, you would see the unemployment numbers and the unemployment rate going down, down, and down. Next Friday, I believe the jobs report will be coming out, and I'll be going over that. I do it once a month. But what the American people are crying out for is leadership. Leadership that they can trust. Leadership that will focus in on the major concerns of the American people, namely jobs, which is another way to say they want much lower unemployment rates in the neighborhood of around 3%. Where the only people unemployed are people between jobs. You're never going to get 100% employment. You're always going to have people between jobs. They're leaving one, going into another, or they've left one and they're looking for one. We've been at this is the longest period, except during the Great Depression in the 30s, where unemployment rates have been so high, and that translates into millions of people, actually tens of millions of people looking for a full-time job and can't find it. And that is what the American people are demanding, and the Democrats simply are incapable of answering that concern. They have made it dramatically worse for people to find a job, and part of it is related to Obamacare. So I'm predicting you're going to see in November a rout of the Democratic Party. It's payback time. And if I were in a position to pay them back, I would throw anyone with a D after their name, I don't care who they are, gets thrown out of the office. That's my rule. And there's some Republicans I'd like to throw out of office, but I'm either not in their state or not in their district. But that's what the American people need to be doing, and many of them are just rubbing their hands together, can't wait till Election Day, November 4th. It's not far away. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, 7 months, a little over 7 months. And if I were a Democrat, I'd be prepared to pack up my office and return home and find gainful employment in the private sector. Because what happens is they've lost confidence, first of all, with the President of the United States. They're sick and tired of hearing his lies and misleading statements. He was lucky to get reelected in 2012. I didn't think he was going to be reelected, even though there are people that studied this and said he was going to be, and he was. But why was he reelected? If you like your plan, you can keep your plan, period. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. And if you're a family of four, you should see your premiums decrease by $2,500. Period. All of those were lies. All of those were lies. Deliberate, intentional lies. Focus, tested propaganda. Deliberately repeated over and over and over again. This was the tactic of the National Socialist Workers' Party, the Nazis. It's the tactic of all totalitarian governments to get support, maintain support, lie to the people. And that's exactly what these were. Now, that was just one lie. The other lie was, we have killed bin Laden. Al-Qaeda is on the run. Yes, they killed him, but Al-Qaeda was not on the run. And we lost four government employees, including the ambassador, Stevens. And what was the lie? This was caused by a video when they knew that that was false. Another big lie. Why? The election was coming up. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they're always going to be true believers. I don't try to talk to the true believers. They hold their views on faith. There's no evidence, no arguments that I can muster that will change their minds. There's no point in talking to them. It's called invincible ignorance. Don't confuse me with the truth. I've already made up my mind. They will be for Obama even when he leaves the office. They're brainwashed because they won't face reality. They can't face reality because to do so would admit that they were wrong. Most people have a big problem admitting they made mistakes or were wrong. It's somewhat a part of our human nature. But they pay a price too. They pay a price in terms of being unemployed. They pay a price in terms of also being impacted by what's happening with Obamacare. And if you haven't been able to find a job and voted for Obamacare not once or twice, maybe you should start connecting the dots. Because President Obama's economic policies, the so-called stimulus package, as well as Obamacare that resulted in over 20 additional taxes, and its impact on employers, it is resulting in people being unemployed for weeks, months, and in some cases, years. You have nobody to blame but yourself. You voted him in, not once, but twice. I can see where you could be fooled once. I really do. I tell people this. Initially, I was favorably impressed with Barack Obama. That is what I call when he was in his hope and change period. And this was prior to September of 2008. He talked generalizations and feely-good talk, hope and change. Who's against hope and change? Nobody's against hope and change. Politicians of both parties have been running on hope and change forever. But he gave us some real change, and what has that resulted in? Persistently high unemployment rates, and now health insurance that is significantly higher, both in its cost in terms of premiums as well as in deductibles. So you ask for hope and change? Barack Obama can say, I delivered it. I marshaled the Democratic Party and we got this through. After many, many decades of trying to get it through, we got it through. Are you happy? No. More people today are against Obamacare than when it was passed. It's going up. See, the numbers are supposed to go down as people enrolled. People are enrolling, but they're mad. Because they're getting less coverage in their eyes because they have to pay a lot more premiums and much higher deductibles. And they're not getting the doctor they want, and they're not getting the hospital they want. In other words, they're out of network, and this is going to bite them. They no longer trust Barack Obama, and they no longer trust the Democratic Party. There's a major trust gap, and it's getting bigger and bigger, wider and wider and wider. It is only going to grow. And Barack Obama has it not only with the American people, but also leaders abroad. They don't trust him. He's a known quantity. They know he'll say anything or nearly anything and not mean it. You know, we have a phrase, your word is your bond. Well, his word is not his bond. So when world leaders know who they're dealing with, they don't rely on that person. They do what you should be doing, questioning the credibility of the president. And if you do that with an objective mind, you'll come to the same conclusion that tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans have already come to the conclusion. You can't trust him. He's a liar. He'll tell you what you want to hear, but he won't deliver the goods. And what he does deliver is impacting your life. So Obamacare is going to result in a disaster for the Democratic Party. Now, a question that I wanted to introduce and was thinking about is, when does President Obama truly become a lame duck? Technically, a lame duck, as the phrase is used in political science, is when, for example, we have an election in 2016, and let's say a Republican Obama obviously can't run for president, thank God, because of a constitutional amendment, although there have been some people thinking he's going to, by executive order, waive that. I don't think he is. But some people believe that. People are entitled to believe what they want. So Obama can't run, and because of that, there's more than a 50-50 chance that a Republican could be elected president. Let's say that happens. Then at that point, the following day, after Election Day, technically, Obama would be a lame duck until the new president is sworn in, usually the third week of January. It used to be in early March, but they've changed that. They've reduced the lame duck period to less than 3 months, which is good. But when does President Obama truly become a lame duck? Not in that technical definition, but where he really can't get anything done through Congress because of control by the House and the Senate, the Republican Party. I think that's going to be next January. I'm hoping it's next January. We need to slow this gentleman down. We need to repeal Obamacare. And the sooner he's out of the White House, the better. Because he has a big integrity problem, and he's being plagued by scandals. I think what's going to undo his presidency, and I'm not for impeachment yet, for the simple reason you got to not only control the House and the Senate, you have to make a strong case with the American people to impeach any president that was elected. But I think where there's more than smoke is the IRS scandal. There are at least three scandals that I think could bring this president down. One is the IRS scandal involving various groups, conservative, libertarian, Tea Party, pro-life, pro-Israel groups that were denied or delayed. They were first targeted for delaying of the approval of 501c4 status, which is really challenging and limiting their freedom of speech. And that was intentional. That's another thing that this party and this president are responsible for. This shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And the president was irate that the Supreme Court ruled in the Citizen United case that corporations have the right to express their political views, just like the New York Times does, just like unions do, just like newspapers, networks do. I'm for maximum freedom of speech right up to Election Day. But what the IRS was doing was politicizing itself by going after these groups because they don't like their political views. That is a no-no, and that people can understand and they don't like. And I think it started in the White House with the president in 2010 when that United Citizens United case came out. What Citizens United put out a video on Hillary Clinton. It's a 501c4. And it did it prior to the election. And this became a Supreme Court case. And the Supreme Court said that the so-called McCain-Feingold bill law is unconstitutional because it limits people's freedom of speech under the Constitution. And that's what President Obama was objecting to. And what he did to smear those people is to say they're getting foreign money when that's not the case. If anybody's getting foreign money, it's his own organization. So the president was very outspoken of this, said it in his, when the Supreme Court was there in the State of the Union message, berated the Supreme Court for passing this decision. How dare he do that? It's called freedom of speech, Mr. President. And if you don't like it, that's tough. That's tough. And we know what you're about. And as a result of that, you had people in the IRS trying to go after their political enemies and enemies list, groups that would, in the next election in 2012, be against you. And you succeeded. Shame on you, although you really have no shame. Anyone that lies to the extent you do has no shame. And don't believe me, go to my post for this show. And I have video after video just detailing those lies, as well as a place to go to show you the many statements, the many, many lies of Barack Obama. That's why his credibility is going down, down, and down. His job approval has gone down, down, and down. And it hasn't reached bottom yet. Because once these scandals attract the attention, and they are, of the American people, slowly but surely, the so-called smoking gun is revealed. That's when the president has big political problems. Now, this administration is doing anything it can to forestall that. Delay, 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 the redaction of documents. Even when they finally give the documents over, most of them are blacked out. They're stonewalling. They're lying to you. The president there's not a smidgen of evidence that there was any wrongdoing in the so-called IRS scandal. It's a phony scandal. They only think phony, Mr. President, is you and your lies. It came out of the White House through the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, and it went down to Lois Lerner. I'm forgiving Lois Lerner immunity because I really think we're at the point that that's sort of the firewall. She's not going to talk, but if she's given immunity, she will, I hope. Then she has to talk or go to jail. She's what I'm calling today a Fifth Amendment IRS employee. You know, we used to have Fifth Amendment communists. We used to have Fifth Amendment mobsters. I think we're seeing Fifth Amendment Democrats. I refuse to testify on the grounds that it might incriminate me. Why does anyone? Now, I'm not against, let me make very, very clear here. Any individual has that right to avail themselves of that privilege. And I would. And the reason I say that is the FBI, for example, could come to you tomorrow and lie to you about something, and you talk to them, and you maybe lie to them back or misstate a fact, something that you thought it was a fact that isn't. You see, the FBI can technically lie and mislead you. But if they catch you out in a lie, you can be prosecuted. That's why any good lawyer will say, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Get legal representation, and then if you have any decent lawyer, the FBI is going to clearly have to state, who's the target of this investigation? Why do you want this information? Always seek counsel and always keep your mouth shut. So I'm not against exercising the right, but that's different from when a federal employee, an IRS employee, that was a division in charge of the division on these exempt organizations takes the Fifth. She knows something. I think she knows an awful lot. She was the sort of in the middle. The orders came from above to stop the Tea Party movement, pro-life, pro-Israel, conservative, libertarian groups, anything with patriot in the name. Delay, delay, delay the passing or giving these organizations a letter from the IRS exempting them as a 501c4. That was the strategy, and it worked. It worked. These people did not exercise to the fullest extent their freedom of speech. That's what happened. And you should be outraged. Both Democrats, Republican, any American should be outraged about this and demand answers. And you see, there's been a number of committees, many committees investigating this. That's problem number one. There should be a special committee just investigating this. But there have been many subpoenas issued and not really responsive replies to it. They delay, 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 and then they're partly responsive, but to say, well, we gave you so many documents, and then many of the documents that are sensitive are blacked out. Now, some of them need to be blacked out because they have taxpayer information. I understand that, and so does Congress. But what we're talking about is not that. What we're talking about is an organized, deliberate, intentional operation to shut down and minimize the impact of political speech being exercised by various Tea Party groups, conservative groups, libertarian groups, as well as pro-life and pro-Israel groups. That's what was going on, and that worked. You don't believe me? If Mitt Romney, I'm no fan of Mitt Romney, although I respect him, but he's not my choice by far. He's a progressive Republican. He's an interventionist. Mitt Romney would be president today had he got the same number of votes that John McCain got in 2008. Now, why did that not happen? Why did people stay home? Part of the reason was these groups were not speaking out. They're not mobilizing the Tea Party, the conservatives, and the libertarians to come out, even though many of those people had real reservations about Mitt Romney. But when they compared him to Barack Obama, it was very much night and day, where day was Mitt Romney. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand that Barack Obama is a front man. You know, popular bands have front man. It's usually the lead singer. He's out front. The band's in the back, backup band, playing their instrument, but it's the lead singer, usually. Sometimes it's a guitarist, but usually it's they are the front man, not the drummer, not the bass. They are the front man. The same thing in politics. Barack Obama is a front man. The reason I'm saying this, he represents certain special interests that want certain things accomplished. And that is what he's going to do. Why? Because they provide them the money, the manpower, so he can get elected, or since he's not can't run for a third term, Democrats elect. That's what's going on. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Both parties do it. It's not confined to the Democratic Party. Republicans do it as well. The problem is you get a careerist attitude, And you also get the attitude that they're beholden to just certain groups. Obviously, if you contribute a lot of money to the Democratic Party, you're going to get access to whatever you're trying to get accomplished, whether it's changes in regulations, tax laws, you name it. That you need to always remind yourself. There are people behind them that want certain things accomplished for whatever their reasons are. What you need to do is always ask the question, do I trust that individual? Is he telling me the truth or is he lying to me? Is this a person of integrity that follows principles? Can you trust in his word? And if the answer to those questions are yes, then vote for him. If it's no, don't vote for him. You see, what happened in 2008 and to a certain extent in 2012 is what's called identity politics. You identify with them. We had it in 1960 when John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic candidate. Not the candidate, but got elected president. Catholics, Irish, identified with him. This is our opportunity to get a Catholic president for the first time. That's what happened in 2008. This is the first chance for a black president. Well, you got your black president. Hasn't worked out too good, has it? Have a good job? What are you paying for insurance now? I maintain this has been it is by far the worst economic recovery. I think this is the 11th since World War II, by far. We still don't have let me back up. The most people that have ever worked in the United States, the month that happened, was in November of 2007. At that point in time, in round numbers, 146.6 million Americans were working. We're still not back to that level. We're about a million jobs short. Now, there's nothing magic about 146.6 million. The only reason I make this point over and over again, we're not back to the highest point, and that's going on 7 years. By this time, the November 4th elections, it will be 7 years, and I seriously doubt we'll be back to that level then. That's only 7 months from now. Now, why is that important, and why is that profoundly sad? There should be at least 12 million more people employed. We should have today approaching 160 million people fully employed. We're about 145 million. And you don't have to look any further than the economic policies, the failed economic policies of Barack Obama. His stimulus package didn't work, nor is Obamacare working. Those have been the job killers, the budget busters. And remember, the central problem is out of control spending. And you need leadership that's going to do something about that problem. You do not have it in Barack Obama or the Democratic Party. They want to do the exact opposite. They want to dramatically increase government spending, which means more taxes, more debt, more deficit. In other words, spending exceeds tax revenue and more debt. They're literally bankrupting this country. They're reckless. They're dangerously reckless. They're fiscally insane. They're fiscally irresponsible. But they will do that to maintain their power. The country be damned and the American worker be damned. Because if they truly cared about the American worker, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. That's just the sad, sad, sad facts of the situation. So I think Barack Obama is a lame duck. And it's only going to get worse. The problem is he's going to perceive that come November. And then you're going to have to watch him like a hawk, because then he has nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. And he won't have a legacy, because he knows Obamacare is going down the toilet and it's going to be flushed down the toilet. Exactly what should happen to it. And there's a distinct possibility that he could be impeached. I'm not necessarily in favor of that. In the conventional wisdom, no one is going to impeach the first black president. Today, I think that is a true statement. But if any one of these scandals, and there are several, blow up, in other words, are directly linked to the White House, where people face prison time for their activities and point the finger up, I did it because he ordered me to, and they pointed up. and it goes into the White House, and then it goes into the Oval Office. If that happens, and we're not there yet, then there's a distinct possibility you'll not only is the president a lame duck president, he might very well be impeached, and he might very well be convicted. Right now, we're not there. You don't have the evidence to prove the impeachment. An impeachment is like being indicted, but then you go to trial, and you better have the evidence to support that. Speculation is not enough. You're going to need testimony. You're going to need records. You're going to need evidence to prove that. I think the evidence exists, but a lot of it is being destroyed as we speak. And they're really not doing an investigation of the IRS scandal that should be done. Because the last time that happened and a special prosecutor was appointed, what happened? Nixon ultimately resigned. And I still maintain that I've looked at all the scandals. I think the one that could really hang Barack Obama is the IRS scandal. Why? Because that's something everybody can understand. There are other ones that I think are just as bad, primarily Benghazi and Fast and Furious. And maybe ultimately in 5-10 years, someone or a group goes to jail, but that crucially depends on whether the statutes, I forget the name, whether the statutes have not run out. You have a time period to enforce the law. So I think President Obama increasingly will become a lame duck, will increasingly become isolated, because he's going to wake up in November and find, guess what? The Republicans control the House, the Senate, and they want Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, or if you want the full name, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act repealed. And the Republicans have some excellent ideas to improve the health insurance. I have excellent ideas, but they're not new. They've been around for years and years and years. And who has been blocking it? The Democratic Party. Why? Because they want single payer. They want to limit your choices where your only choice is when you need either doctor care, hospital care, you got to go through them. That's what they want. That's not what the American people want, and that's why they didn't get it. But if they had the votes, they would have passed that instead of this Obamacare. With that, I wish you a great weekend. So with that, you are listening to KDUX, a radio broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and stay tuned Monday. I'm sure there's going to be another news story, hopefully that will replace the Malaysian Airlines story, which the networks, because of ratings, are beating to death. I think they've totally lost perspective. And I think you'll see a slow, slow, slow diminishing of the coverage. With that, back to the music.